our speaker of the hour, Paul Cagle.
The study that we will be engaged in tonight on the subject of fellowship. God's people have a special fellowship that is found nowhere else in all of the world. And this tonight we're truly thankful for as we engage in this subject of fellowship. What it is, how it is to be obtained, what it offers, what it requires, and then we will finally study the question, fellowship who? As we know, there is a lot of questions that has been asked recently regarding fellowship. By those who have the idea that as long as anyone calls themselves a Christian, that we have the obligation and the responsibility to extend to them what is called the right hand of fellowship. May I first of all begin the lesson by going to 1 John with you. If you have your Bibles, you might turn with us. 1 John beginning in chapter 1, John says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. Truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 4, He writes, And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This, then, is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. We'll stop there for the time being and begin the lesson then as it has to do with fellowship. When we think of fellowship, perhaps we need to go to Webster to see what the definition of the word is, and then examine God's word for examples of what this word has to do with and what it really means, and the realization of who we are as God's people and the fellowship that we have with that body of believers who are in fellowship with Christ. I think of Enoch. The Bible says that after having been upon the earth some 365 years, that this man by the name of Enoch, he had walked with God. And then the record says that he was not, for God took him, Genesis 5, verse 24. To me, there was a picture of fellowship between Enoch and God, as they walk together. For fellowship is indicative of this word of walking together. I think of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and there where God came and the cool of the day, the voice of the Lord. There was a fellowship in that garden before it was interrupted and destroyed by sin that was the sweetest upon the earth at that time. That fellowship that they had there was indicative of the fellowship that we are to have even today. I think also of the greatness of the words of Amos. When he says, Can two walk together except they be agreed? Amos 3 and verse 3. Now, many people's idea of fellowship or agreement is you agreeing with me. Or their idea of cooperation is everybody cooperating with me. The Bible definition is quite different. The fellowship and the walking together is with God. Man walks with God, not ahead of God, not behind God, but with God. And they can't walk together except they be agreed. Now that has no intentions to say that man gets God to agree with him. But our will and our lives so correspond to God's will that we walk with Him. We are in agreement. Because the word fellowship, defined by Webster, he says it is association, it is communion, it is intimacy, it is joint interest, it is active participation in. Literally, this is the words of Webster. The idea of fellow means one of a kind. The fellow of a wheel may be used as an example. Most of us remember perhaps the old wagons that had the old spokes that was pulled by the mules and the horses, perhaps. The part of that wheel which referred to as the fellows were the parts of the wheel on the outside that supported the rim. And the fellows connected each of these sections together. The spokes of the wheel fitted into what was known as the fellow. The wheels or the spokes rested upon the fellows of the wheel. The fellows were soaked in water, and thereby they would swell and tighten the rim or the tire, as it was, on that old wagon. The fellows then were very important to understand the idea of the communion and the association, the entire cooperation of that wheel together. That's the point we want to get tonight. In 1 Peter chapter 2 at verse 9, Peter says, "Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood." Every Christian is a priest. We don't offer the animal sacrifices of the Old Testament, but we present our bodies a living sacrifice, Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, holy and acceptable unto God, which becomes our reasonable service because we are of the priesthood. No, not the kind that wears the collars turned around backwards. Not those who would wear the name Father, regardless of what Jesus said, "Call no man Father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. Call no man Master upon the earth, for one even is your Master." Secret order entanglements today would have men to refer to other men as most worshipful master, despite what our Lord had to say. But Peter says, "You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." Now John talks about, in 1 John that we read a moment ago, that this fellowship is in the light. And if any man says he has fellowship with the Lord and yet he walks in darkness, he lies and does not the truth. Darkness here is referring to sin. Now this lie that John wants to point out, and we're going to identify tonight in this lesson, the Lord willing. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. Now, literally, some of us may be peculiar in the way the world looks at us. The peculiarity, though, of God's people is we're not peculiar in the way that we speak, except, brethren, with language that is pure, language that is true, language that says exactly what we mean and we mean what we say. We are peculiar in that sense. We are not peculiar in the way that we dress. What does he mean here? Except we are peculiar in that we dress modestly. We make sure that there is nothing about the human body that would cause others to cast lustful glances or unholy desires. For if a man looketh upon a woman to lust after her, he hath committed adultery already with her in his heart. We're talking about a peculiar people in the sense that God has selected these to have fellowship with Him. And those who do occupy a special place. I want us tonight to appreciate who you are as a partner in fellowship with the Lord tonight. How you acquired that fellowship, what that fellowship requires of us tonight. and of others, that they too may be in fellowship even with us, who are in fellowship with the Lord. Now Peter continues in this particular passage. He says, the reason that you are a peculiar people, a holy nation, a royal priesthood, that you may show forth the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So those who have fellowship with God, naturally then, are walking in the light. The light of what? The light of the Word, the light of the Gospel. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. This light of which Jesus was the embodiment of when He came to this world, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, John 14 and verse 6. But understanding where this light is, who this light is, Jesus declared Himself to be the light of the world. I am the light of the world. And then He says, of course, you are the light. Literally, we become the reflectors of that light that He shines into our lives, and then we reflect that light to those round about us. Literally the meaning of the word. Now, if the globe is dirty, if it has collected soot or whatever you want to call it on the outside of the globe so that many lives cannot shine into a world of darkness and show them the way to have fellowship with God. Therefore, we must keep the reflectors clean. That is, the soul, the mind, the spirit of man. For we must love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, with all of our spirit. That's the greatest commandment, Jesus says. And unable to do that, then I cannot have this fellowship which is in Christ. Now then, we understand this fellowship of which we mean. Where is it at? It is in Jesus Christ. Look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 as we continue the lesson. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ. Now, fellowship is a spiritual blessing. It is in Christ. There is no fellowship outside of Christ. To fellowship Christ, to fellowship the Father, to fellowship the Son, to fellowship the Godhead, as it were, then I must be in Christ to have this fellowship. Spiritual blessings that Paul identifies to the Ephesian brethren here, there's many that could be listed. I'll list just a few that you might get an idea of what is referred to as spiritual blessings. Now, these are in addition to the physical blessings that everybody receives. He sends the rain on the just and the unjust. So these people receive the physical blessings of God, but not the spiritual blessings. The only person who can receive a spiritual blessing and that fellowship with the Father is those then who are in Christ. Now that's what your Bible says. All fellowship with God, all fellowship with brethren must be in Christ. I cannot fellowship that which has no fellowship with the Father. If a man is not in Christ, he has no fellowship with Christ. And therefore, I have no fellowship with that one who has not established this relationship that is expressed in the phrase, being in Christ. We're going to work on that tonight. Being in Christ. And we want you to know and to want to be in Christ when this lesson is over tonight. And that you take advantage of this opportunity to acquire this relationship that sets you apart from all the creation of God upon the face of this earth. You are then a special people. You are then the peculiar people. You are then and do make up the holy nation, the royal priesthood, and wear the royal garments of the very Son of God. You are of the household of God. God is your Father. And in that connection then we'll find that we become fellow heirs with God. Because we are referred to as fellow soldiers and fellow workers and fellow helpers and fellow laborers. All of these words are used in your Bible to express this unique relationship that you individually have with God if you are in Christ. Here is the secret of the whole idea of fellowship. There is no fellowship out of Christ. That fellowship is in the Son. And if we walk in the light, now that's the light of His Word, then we have that fellowship. If not, we don't. Brother, it's that simple. I see why not there is such confusion in the religious world even among the brotherhood this very night as to who we're going to fellowship in the church. Let's see what God's Word says and let that settle it. If you want to offer an amen or suggest to me that you support and agree with this, that's fine. I remember the great preachers of old, and we can mention them tonight, that we love and adore so very much. One of my dearest friends, I guess you would say, I did hear Brother Marshall Keeble preach on several occasions. The brethren was always very ready to give Brother Marshall a hearty amen. One night, one of the white brethren says, "Brother Marshall, why do you like your brethren to say amen?" Brother Marshall looked and he responded. He says, "Brethren," he says, "saying amen to the preacher is like saying seek him to a dog. You'll get this preacher to preach yourself to death if you start doing that." But the idea of fellowship with Christ tonight, if you miss this, you've missed it all. And many are members of the body of Christ but know nothing of the precious relationship of the fellowship that we have in this life and then that eternal relationship that is with God in the future. Spiritual blessings are in Christ. Forgiveness of sin is a spiritual blessing. According to Ephesians 1 and 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. But it's in whom? In whom we have redemption. In whom? In Christ. Back to Ephesians 1 and verse 3. In whom we have no redemption outside of Christ. Now when you get back to redemption, forgiveness, pardon, there is no salvation outside of Christ. Acts 4 and verse 12, there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Again, a spiritual blessing of remission of sins, Acts 2:38. Remission of sins is in Christ. Remission of sins is found and had only in this particular place. Redemption, Ephesians 1 and verse 7, is in Christ. These are spiritual blessings, not others. Rest is found in Christ. Come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Matthew 11:28. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Lifting burdens and burdens that are to be lifted must be found lifted in Christ. They are lifted nowhere else. Regardless of the sincerity of one's religion, the amount of sacrifice, there is no lifting of any burden outside of Jesus Christ. But I must bear my own burden and weigh the penalty of my own sin and the wages of sin or death. These I must bear outside of Christ. Peace, John 14 and 27, is a result of being in Christ. No peace outside of Christ. No eternal peace. There is no love and no care outside of Christ. 1 Peter 5 and 7, casting all your care upon Him because He careth for you. There is help in time of trouble in Christ. Psalms 46 and 1, God is our refuge. And He's our very present help in time of trouble. Fellowship with God, what it offers to you tonight and what it requires of every man. Comfort is what it offers. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4, it offers us a place in heaven when this life is over. I'm telling you what fellowship offers you now and in that life to come. Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I come again, I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Who was that for? He was talking to His apostles, those who were troubled at His going away in John chapter 14. And yet He says, "I'm going to give you a mansion, but it's only to those that are in fellowship with Christ." Eternal glory, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 17. Eternal glory is in Christ. No spiritual blessings outside of the Lord. Period. Sign God. Now when you think of these spiritual blessings that we've mentioned only a few tonight, What does it require? What does these blessings, the offering of fellowship, require? It requires of us to be in Christ, to become a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, here's that unique relationship, he is a new creature. No new creatures outside of Christ. No fellowship outside of being a new creature. Now, how does one become a new creature? By the new birth. A new creature results from a new birth, John 3 and 5. Nicodemus came to Jesus. He recognized him as an authoritative teacher. And he asked Jesus concerning his teaching, and Jesus says, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God, born of the water and of the Spirit. The new birth is necessary for one to become a new creature and establish this relationship, being in Christ. Now, the Bible tells us how we get into Christ. That's no great marvel. I'm glad Paul said and told us how to do that. I'm glad he didn't leave it up to me or any other preacher or any other individual to decide how we get into Christ. By those who say we get into Christ by prayer. By those who say we get into Christ by accepting Him as our personal Savior, by faith only. By those who say we get into Christ by the direct operation of the Holy Spirit. Or we get into Him by an experience better felt than told. What does your Bible say? Paul says, first of all, Galatians 3:26. And then 27, you're all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. He says you, and he uses that pronoun, you, that. For as many of you, Galatians, that has been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And then he uses the personal pronoun, us, over in Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Know ye not, he says, that so many of us as was baptized into Christ was baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Here is undoubtedly indisputable proof of how we get into Christ and establish this fellowship, this relationship that is described as bringing all of these spiritual blessings that we've talked about tonight. But that's not all that it requires. Fellowship with the Lord requires scriptural worship. Now, one can do these acts and these things that is required in becoming a new child of God. But it doesn't stop there, brethren. It is important to realize that scriptural worship is required of every person who has fellowship with God. John 4, verse 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. The biblical record is replete with those individuals who worship God not according to truth, and therefore had no fellowship with God, and their sacrifice and worship was rejected. Not only must that scriptural worship, is it given unto us, it includes singing without the aid of a mechanical instrument of music. Ephesians 5 and verse 19. Scriptural worship eliminates everything except what God's Word stipulates. If there is not a thus saith the Lord, if there is not an example or a necessary inference or a command, brethren, we cannot scripturally do it. Now, the Bible shows us too many cases where people tried to, and God says, no, it doesn't work that way. Yet my brethren sometimes have never learned that God does not accept what I think, what I like, what I want to use, and because I find nothing wrong with it, and the majority like it, then let's use it. Ridiculous. We might as well put pizza and French fries on the Lord's table and substitute it in the place of the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine. But what I'm saying is tonight, worship must be scriptural, not only from the standpoint of our singing, but our prayers. Also, from the standpoint of the Lord's Supper, observed on the first day of every week, Acts 20:7, because every week has a first day. And upon the first day of the week, the disciples came together to break bread. Every week has that first day to have fellowship with God. Then I'm a part of His plan in my giving as well as in the other acts of worship. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay by Him in store as God has prospered. There's no pie suppers, there's no bazaars, there's no yard sales. In order to support the Lord's work, it is solely purpose and finance through the giving of those of us who make up the body of Christ. There is also the idea of requiring teaching. Fellowship with God requires study as well as teaching. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Brethren, are you listening? Fellowship with God requires study. Oh, you say, preacher, I already know enough. Do you? The Apostle Paul is an aged minister there in that old prison cell up in Rome. He told Timothy to bring the books, didn't he? Paul was a student of the books until the very end. Bring the books! And so it is, our head is buried in this book to gain the knowledge of Him who is above all and in all and through all, that we might have fellowship with Him. And that fellowship is not a second-hand fellowship. It's not a second-hand relationship. Someone used it this way. They said, God has no grandchildren. And that's right. All members of the family of God are children, not grandchildren. We don't go to God through a parent or through a loved one. We are direct children of God, sons and daughters born into the family of God, recognized as His sons and daughters. Listen, friend, if you're in fellowship with God, then you are required to study. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Peter says, 1 Peter 3:18, if that's not a command, then there is no command in all of the Bible to grow. And there in Hebrews chapter 5 and chapter 6, particularly 5, those Hebrew Christians were rebuked severely by the writer. He says, when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need someone teach you again the first principles, as it was, by reason of time and by neglect of study and not being able to teach, I can commit sin by reason of time. Listen to it, friend. This idea tonight, that what does fellowship require? It requires faithfulness, as we pointed out last Sunday night. Fellowship with the Lord requires every child of His to be faithful, as a bride is to her husband. Jesus said that the church is a bride, that we're married to Christ. How many times, I ask you a question tonight, would a wife have to be unfaithful to her husband before she is then recognized as an unfaithful wife? How many times does an old automobile have to fail to start before you begin to say, well, it's unfaithful? How many times does a Christian have to become unfaithful in order to be displeasing in the sight of God and for it to constitute sin, brethren? It requires faithfulness. Be thou faithful unto death. Fellowship with God requires service, Galatians 6:10. Now, we're talking about requirements tonight. It's not what I might do or might not do. It's not what if I have time to do or if I please to do it. It is a requirement of fellowship with God that I serve not only God but my fellow man. To love my neighbor as myself means I'm not going to do anything to that neighbor or let anything happen to that neighbor that I would not let happen to me or do to me. I don't want that neighbor talking about me. I'm not going to talk about that neighbor. I'm not going to let me go hungry. I'm not going to let my neighbor go hungry. For I love him as I love myself. And you get the idea of how fellowship is tied in with service. But listen tonight. The Bible, in all of its descriptions of fellowship, points out that you and I are fellow heirs. that we then become fellow citizens, Ephesians 2:19. We become fellow soldiers, that is, as far as fighting the Christian armor and carrying on the battle beneath the banner of the cross. We are fellow helpers, 3 John and verse 8. I found fellow workers in Colossians 4 and verse 11. There are fellow laborers, 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3. There are fellow servants, Colossians 4 and verse 7. I'm wanting you to get the idea of what fellowship consists of. Now then, what is this idea of fellowship? The Bible gives the basis of fellowship, and we've pointed out those bases thus far tonight. Fellowship with God requires walking in the light. That is, according to the truth of God. Walking in the light means walking according to the truth. Nothing else less than that can be thought of. So there is no fellowship outside the truth. Outside that which is truth. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. Now to have not God means I'm not in fellowship with God. To transgress and abide not in the doctrine of Christ, that tells you there's more doctrines besides the doctrine of Christ. There's doctrines of the devil we read. There's doctrines of demons. There's false doctrines and all the rest mentioned in your Bible. Someone says recently in the Lord's church, doctrine is not important, Brother King. Doctrine is not important. Brethren, how far can we get from the truth of God that there is no such thing as doctrine that is important? Look at it again from this standpoint. In Genesis chapter 49, as we're looking about this idea of no fellowship outside of the truth, I ask 3 questions as we look to the near close of the lesson. Can we fellowship the world? Can the Christian fellowship the world? Ephesians, go with me quickly to chapter 5, verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and given himself for us an offering and a sweet sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become of saints, as people who have fellowship with God. Don't let fornication or any of these other things, covetousness or uncleanliness, be once named among my people, God says. Neither, that's not all. Foolishness, filthiness, foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather the giving of thanks. For this you know that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God. Kingdom of Christ and of God. What are you saying, Paul? Look over to verse 11 quickly for time's sake. Have no fellowship, brethren. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. But rather, what? Reprove them. Stand up. Have nothing to do with it. Because you have fellowship with God. Now, if you're going to fellowship these unfruitful works of darkness, then you have no fellowship with God. It's time we draw the line, brethren, and that we hold to that line. Ever heard the cheerleaders of the ball team say, hold that line. Hold that line. They hover those football players or whoever it is out there, those guys on that line, trying to hold that line. Hold the opposition. Hold that line. The early members of God's family, the apostles, they had to hold the line. Early restorators of the 18th century, they had to hold the line against denominationalism. And there's been those since that time that's had to fight and hold the line against innovations in worship apart from God's Word. By those who are clamoring, it's all right for the instrument to be used. There's those clamoring today, it's all right to have the women preachers, women elders, even let them pray in public. Let them serve the Lord at the Lord's table. Brethren, where are we getting this idea? We're going to have to stand up and hold the line. The line's beginning to sag, isn't it? We know of the brethren that were once faithful, and no longer can we point that finger and say they stand with us in Christ. Notice that's not all. In Psalms, that's the Old Testament, that's right, Psalms 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, We're talking about can we fellowship the world. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, fellowshipping the world here, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. First he's walking, then he's standing, and then he sits. Blessed is the man that walketh not with them, that stops to then maybe get interested and stand, and begins finally to sit. Blessed is the man that walketh not, standeth not, sitteth not, but his delight where is in the law of the Lord. In his law did he meditate day and night. He should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Why? He is in fellowship with God. Whatsoever he doeth, it shall prosper, but the ungodly are not so, but like the chaff, which the wind driveth away. The ungodly therefore shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. I'm saying tonight we don't fellowship the world. Any man love the world, the love of the Father is not anymore. I no more fellowship in the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. You're with me. Appreciate it. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Paul now looks to the statement to the Corinthian brethren. In chapter 6, beginning in verse 14. 14. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Baal? Or Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Come ye out, verse 17, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and you will be a father unto you. I will be a father, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Almighty. Fellowship, brethren, is basic, but there are requirements that we not fellowship the world in any form or fashion. What about denominations? Can we fellowship denominationalism? In this idea of 2 John, and I'll refer you to that as we study it. 2 John is two little verses. These verses are 9 and 10 of 2 John. Whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. Certainly he has not fellowship with God. Now, one that is not in the doctrine and has not obeyed the doctrine, who is not in Christ, is included here. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath the Father and the Son. He is in fellowship with God. But if I come any unto you and receive or bring not this doctrine, the doctrine that was certified. Paul says, brethren, when I came unto you, I certify you that the doctrine that I preach or the gospel that I preach was not of man, neither did I receive it of man, but by direct revelation of the Holy Spirit. It's a certified doctrine that Paul preached, and it's the certified doctrine here that John is talking about. Listen to it. If any come unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Now, does that sound like we pass out the right hand of fellowship to anyone who calls himself a Christian, who has not become subject and obedient unto the doctrine of God? Now, where could any man get such an idea that it's all right? If anyone comes into our midst, though he's not obeyed the gospel of Christ, he's not in Christ, he has no covenant relationship with the Father, he has no fellowship with God, can we fellowship such a one? Not according to this book here. It says, don't receive him, neither bid him Godspeed. Let's go just a little further. It's time that we settle this point once and for all. Though it'll have to be said many, many times. Are those denominational friends and loved ones and sincere individuals? Yes, I have great respect for them in that sense. Are they in fellowship with God? Well, are they in Christ? Are they walking in the light of the Word? Let's answer the question yourself. I'll just put it to you in a question form, and you answer it tonight. Are they walking in the light of His truth? Again, are they in Christ? Ephesians 1 and verse 3. To fellowship such would be to support and to encourage false doctrine, and Paul says, have nothing to do with it. Can we fellowship all church members? You heard me right. First of all, can we fellowship the world? Can we fellowship denominations? Can we fellowship all church members? Again, the question comes, are all church members in fellowship with God? Now, church membership and Christianity is not the same. Now, certainly if I'm a Christian, I am a member of the Lord's church. But church membership in and of itself does not make a Christian. There's a lot of difference between wearing the name of Christ and calling myself a Christian and being a Christian, as you all know. Sitting in a church building does not make one a Christian. Any more than Brother Keeble used to say, sitting in a chicken house makes one a chicken. I think we can understand that, brethren. But the point that is made here is, are all church members in fellowship with Christ? Turn to 1 Corinthians just briefly. 1 Corinthians, Paul writes in chapter 5, some of you are familiar with this. All of us must become familiar with it. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, I'm reading verse 9. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must you needs go out of the world. But now have I written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother, church member, be a fornicator, or covetous, or idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one know not to eat. Whew. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within, but them that are without God judgeth. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. That's what the Bible says. Now when we examine what fellowship is, what it requires, and how we must respect it, in Romans chapter 16, verse 17, it doesn't get any easier. You know what Paul says in this little book to the Roman Christians? Look quickly with me to chapter 16. Now I just want to read one verse to you. And that one verse is verse number 17. Paul says, I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. And congregations are led away or astray from God through these means and medium. And yet we are encouraged, we are commanded by the direct writings of the Holy Spirit. Paul saying those things he received were of God, and Romans chapter 16, verse 17, is one of those commandments. Mark them which cause division and offenses contrary. If we're going to mark and avoid them, we're going to have nothing to do. There's no fellowship there, is there? Brethren, it's time the Lord's church stands up for what God would have us to be. Does Jesus authorize this thing called open fellowship, which we hear more and more about today? There is a statement that is made many times. And one of the passages that those who would advance this idea of open fellowship is found in Mark 9 and verse 38. And I must mention it before we hasten to close tonight. They use this verse where John says, forbid him not, for there is no man who shall do a mighty work in my name and be able to speak evil of me, for he who is not against us is for us. Now, a further investigation of that verse will prove there is in no way here the authorization to extend the right hand of fellowship to anyone who is not in Christ, but who might refer to themselves as a Christian. You know, a fundamental and a universally accepted principle of Bible interpretation among those who truly believe the Bible is that every passage must be interpreted in the light of all the teaching of the Bible. That one must investigate all, and certainly Christ does not contradict himself. And in this statement here, every statement that Jesus made has to be interpreted in the light of all of his teaching and all of his practicing. And using this principle and accepting the fact that Christ said to me on that day, Lord, Lord, but did we not prophesy in thy name and by thy name cast out demons and do many mighty wonderful works? And then will I profess of them, depart from me, you cursed, and whoever, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. Christ affirms in that statement, Matthew 7, that it is not adequate for salvation or fellowship with the Lord to simply call oneself by his name. Christ could not have meant that one could be in full fellowship with them and his followers if he was unwilling to confess Jesus before men. Jesus did not mean, and this statement could not mean, that one can be in fellowship with him who refuses to repent of his sins and to quit all of that evil and those things that he knows to be sinful. For I tell you, next, if you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Jesus could not have meant, in no way could he have meant, that we have fellowship, or one is in fellowship with him and his followers who refuses to be baptized for the remission of his sins. Jesus could not mean that. In Luke chapter 7, verse 24, the physician Luke, when he records Jesus' great tribute to John the Baptist, you remember what he said? All the people, when they heard, and the publicans justified God being baptized with the baptism of John. And then Luke writes, but the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected for themselves the counsel of God, being not baptized of him. Rejecting the counsel of God and being in fellowship with the Father, impossible. And yet those who refused to be baptized upon a confession of that faith, having repented of their sins, having believed in Jesus as the Son of God, have no fellowship with the Father. And we do not have that spiritual fellowship as a brother in Christ. We therefore cannot extend and offer the right hand of fellowship, as many might have us to believe that we can do. Tonight we've tried to touch in a very hurried way. Apologize for going over a little tonight on this subject. But I felt that we wanted to get an overall view of the fellowship, what it offers, what it requires, and ask you tonight, are you in fellowship with Jesus Christ? You cannot answer yes unless you are in Christ. And you are not in Christ unless we have obeyed the gospel, and unless we have been baptized, finally, that act that puts us into Christ. God has never blessed a single soul upon the face of the earth in the Old or New Testament because of faith, until that faith showed itself through some visible act. Now let that sink just a minute. There is not one case in the Old or New Testament where God ever blessed one because of faith until that faith made itself visible in some act of obedience. When did God bless Noah's great faith? When he built the ark. When did God bless Abraham, the father of the faithful? When he got out of his father's land and went to that land that I'll show you. That was the visible act. When did he bless Naaman, the leper? When he dipped 7 times in that Jordan River, that was the visible act. And on we can go through the New Testament. In every case of conversion in the book of Acts, that was a visible act, always backed up a faith that was professed in the Son of God. Tonight, make your faith visible if you're in this audience. If you believe in Jesus Christ, visibly show that faith through obedience to His command. Become a child of God tonight. Become a new creature in Christ. Born again. Become one who is in fellowship with the Father. Then life holds no undreaded situations. Life holds no events that the Lord and I together cannot handle because we're in fellowship. And that fellowship will not be broken in death. But as David says, He walketh with me through the valley of the shadow of death. Goes with me through. Our loved ones can only go up to the door of death. They can't go any further. Jesus goes on with us. Only, brethren, if we're in fellowship with Him tonight. You can be in fellowship with your Lord as you leave this building. If you're willing to obey His truths, receive His word, and obey His gospel.